Welcome back, everybody, to the Business of Money podcast. I am your host, Nia Patrick. Here, I teach financial intelligence to solopreneurs, one-person businesses, because when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. So let's jump right in. This episode is about pricing is a financial decision, not a confidence issue. Most solopreneurs have a problem with pricing, which is why they cannot grow. They don't want to raise their prices. We're currently living in inflationary times where everything is going up. Gas has gone up. Walmart prices have gone up. Everybody's prices have gone up except for yours. Why? Because the consumer is trapped. The consumer is using credit cards. They're feeling the trap because companies have business cycles. And when things go on in the economy and you see businesses raising prices, you should be doing the same. Because if they want your product, they'll buy it. I work at Walmart. And I work at Walmart part-time. I was driving Uber and got into an accident and had to find a part-time job. And I had already started building Women's Wealth Institute because I was working as a teacher last year. I quit in August to drive full-time and build Women's Wealth Institute. And then I got into an accident and I'm like, all right, well, I have to go back to working for someone. That was not hard, but just wrapping myself around it was like, now I got to work for somebody again. And Women's Wealth Institute wasn't quite done. I'm still figuring out its direction. And then once I figured out its direction and finished it up, now I'm like, okay, now I'm adding my content, which is how you're hearing me today. I built my digital products. I built my services. I built my courses. Now I'm building my podcast content library. Anyway, working at Walmart has taught me a lot about dynamic pricing, customer service, policies, procedures, third-party marketplaces, how customers return things, customer behavior, more importantly, pricing. Walmart's prices have been raised, of course, and now they're moving to dynamic pricing, and customers don't like it because they never know how much they're going to pay for something. Now, dynamic pricing will be digital, but yesterday I had a customer come in, and on one price tag is a price. I go to scan it, and it's a dollar more. I have to make the adjustment. And they're changing out the size because they were buying swim trunks. The trunks were the wrong size. He needed a larger size. One trunk didn't have a price on it, swim trunk, and it rang up $15.98. He goes, they're the same thing, and they should be the same price. Nope. One has a price tag. One does not. He's like, but they're on the same shelf. It doesn't matter. I can go into the app and see how much it is at $15.98. And he was upset, but they're the same thing. Look, let me explain something. Walmart has this blue vest that I have to wear, and it's got the little, you've seen it. Everybody knows what the Walmart blue vest looks like. And I tell them, look, let me tell you something. The Walmart blue shirt in the system tells me what the price is. You don't tell me what the price is. Excuse me. And the wherever you found it doesn't tell me what the price is. We don't do that here at Walmart. You can find this over in the home section sitting on the shelf next to lamps, but that doesn't mean it's the same price as the lamp. So if you see something, people put things back. We don't know when people put things back that it's not the right place. That's number one. But I have something to guide me called an app, and you do too. So if you have your app, if you don't see a price on it, get your app and scan the product and see what the price is. Well, it was sitting, I don't care where you found it sitting, sir. And we don't match online pricing. Got the customers upset. I said, but let me tell you something. The blue shirt says I can't give you the price you're looking for. this is what it scans for. You made the decision if you want to buy it. So he was quite upset. And I said, but the gray shirt, I was wearing a gray shirt yesterday. Nia, look, I'll let you have it for free. But then I'm going to get hauled out of here and I'm going to lose my job. So I can't do that. So respect the blue shirt and we'll figure all this out. That reduces the tension sometimes for my cut for the customers of Walmart. So I say this to you is that Walmart's starting to play around where the customer doesn't know the price until they get up to the counter. The other thing that they're also doing is, which I think is brilliant, right? I'm already hesitant to take, I'm ready to take off the price on my sessions so that I can determine the price based on the need of my customer or client by making it an initial consult. And then the price is determined on the need, and that's at checkout. I don't know yet. It's something to think about as I'm sitting here so that I have dynamic pricing in my business as well, because that's just the nature of where business is moving to. You don't know what people are going to pay until they get up to the register. And this is why pricing is a financial decision, not a confidence issue. Also, a customer bought in a product that he's returning. He was returning baseball cards. Well, the store I work at, I don't want to say my store, the store I work at, we don't sell baseball cards. I don't know where he got it from, but it says I'm returning the product and the system tells me the product is not returnable. And I tell the customer the product is not returnable. And he says, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not. And I said, it tells me refer to the policy. He said, what policy? And I'm thinking in my mind, because I have to learn not to let the customers control the narrative. They are returning something to a store they bought something from. They did not buy it from me. My job is to uphold the policies and procedures of the store. That's my job as customer service. Not to help the customer. To help the customer understand our the Walmart policies. So he's like, and it says refer to the policy. So I get the receipt and I'm like, well, let me see your receipt. The very bottom of the receipt says this product is non-returnable due to the nature of the product. And I said, it says so at the bottom that you can't return this. All sales are final. What? But I want to know that until checkout. That's not my problem. This is what you agreed to this when you purchased the product and the receipt gave you all sales are final. And this product is not returnable. But how would I know that before I buy it? That's not my challenge, sir. You bought it. Now it's yours, but I don't want it. That's not my problem. So, Nia, how can we fix this? Nia can't fix anything. That's what I told him. Nia can't fix anything. I work for Walmart. So you can call me by your name. I don't understand. You can do what you want. But I can't fix the problem. The system won't let me do it. Okay, yes, Nia, I understand that. Stop calling me Nia. But tell me, how can we fix this? I can't fix it for you, sir. I'm sure there's something that you can do. No, sir, there's not. But I wouldn't know. I hear you, what you're saying. And then I had to do the blue shirt, gray shirt. So I'm like, would you like a coach? Yes, I would like a coach. Okay, no problem. But I'm telling you, she's going to say the same thing. I still like to talk to a coach, meaning my boss. Okay, cool, no problem. So I get my coach. She sees it. She sees the thing. We can't return this. Why not? How can we fix this? There's nothing we can do. You bought it. Oh, Walmart, fill in the blank. Walmart is bullshit. Walmart's this and the third. I didn't make you come in here to shop. You chose to shop and they gave you the terms. So before you came in to return the product, you needed to look at your receipt and see what the policy was. It says refer to the policy. The policy was written right there on the receipt. It protects returns is where I'm going with this to make it relevant in terms of pricing. When people return stuff, you're going to have to raise your prices for the cost of allowance of returning stuff being brought back to your store or to your website or your product being returned to you, because there's an allowance account that you should have set up for if your people are bringing stuff back. On my site, I have all sales are final and nothing is returnable. My products are all digital. So you can't use the product and return it saying you weren't satisfied. It's a digital product. Once you have it, you can use it. You can't use it any way you want. But once you have it, how do you return a digital product? And I don't sell merch. You can't book my session, then use my time, and then say I didn't get anything of value out of it. Yeah, you did. Because I gave you information, and now you're like, you didn't get any value. I'm not wasting your time. You're listening to my podcast. Right now, there's no subscription. But eventually, it will be subscriber-based. And you're choosing at the onset to the terms and conditions. Well, all of my terms and conditions are on my website. If you choose not to read it, that's not, and that's before you buy. I don't catch you at the end. I at least let you know up front. So if you choose not to read the terms and conditions, it's on the checkout screen as well. And then it's at the bottom of the screen before you buy. So when someone tries to return something because they want to do a chargeback to their credit card, me and Chat had a very long discussion about my policies of returns, refunds, transferring, things like that. And if I have a screenshot of my before you purchase, all sales are final. At the checkout, all sales are final. And all of this due to the nature of the product, you can't get your money back on a chargeback. That protects my company. So this is why pricing is a financial decision, not a confidence issue. Pricing is not about confidence. It's not about mindset. It's not about worth. Pricing is a financial decision. And if your business is your paycheck, your pricing must support stability, not just sales. Most one-person businesses price based on the market. They look at their competitors. They look at industry averages, maybe. They look at what feels reasonable, but very few start with their own numbers. Like, what does it cost for you to operate? Which is why I brought up your policies. What does it cost for you to operate? When someone returns something, that affects your revenue. Because now you have to take that out of your inventory account. You have to account for a chargeback or a fee from your credit card processor. Or if you're on a platform, they're going to take your revenue away. So you have to think in terms of how much is it going to cost when a customer is going to return the item? And do you have a lot of returns? If it does, you're losing revenue and it's going to affect your pricing. And you're going to have to increase your pricing to account for all the returns you have coming in. You really are a retailer. You just don't know you're a retailer because you may not have never worked in retail. And I started my whole life, working life in retail. And I think I've worked for every major department store in America, except for Sears. So that's what we mean by what it costs for you to operate. Not just your expenses, but what policies do you have in place to support your pricing? What does it cost for you to deliver your service? Right. Then on top of that, what is your monthly personal requirement? What percentage must be allocated for taxes? And what margins protect your business? If you do not know those numbers, your price is just a guess. My pricing was not a guess. And mind you, my policies were set before I actually worked at Walmart. Walmart only helped me strengthen my policies. to believe it or not. Well, I had to sit and review them. And I had to take a day to read my terms and conditions because they were written for me through ChatGPT. And I had to read them and make sure that the proper language is in there. Now, eventually, I'm going to have someone legal look at it to make sure that I'm protected. But for right now, I don't really have sales. I don't have anything like that. So I'm okay because I think I might have taken a policy from, let's say, Walmart before I worked there. I went on their website, either Walmart or Amazon. And like, can you create this protection, arbitration, and all the kind of stuff within my terms and conditions when they go on my site with ChatGPT? And it did it for my business, which means that, and then I had to read it and understand certain terms. So it took a day to create, but it took a while to make sure it has the proper language. Now it just needs a look-see through with someone who's knowledgeable about my business, which would be my legal person, and then can tighten up areas that are not strong. That's what reviews are for in your business, but I digress. If you do not know those numbers, your price is a guess. And guessing at pricing creates long-term pressure. So let me simplify it for you. Your pricing must cover operating expenses, delivery costs, taxes, owner compensation, and profit. And profit before owner compensation. That's the order. If your pricing only covers expenses and leaves your pay inconsistent, your structure is incomplete. If your pricing generates revenue but no margin, your growth increases workload without increasing stability. That's not a pricing problem. That's a financial structure problem. Here at Women's Wealth Institute, we teach you about financial intelligence. Well, that financial intelligence is built around the financial structure of your company. I'll say that one more time. It's the financial structure, not your legal structure, your LLC. That's what you hear about the buzz on social media. You want to make sure you want to be protected. You want to separate your business from your personal. You want to have your LLC. And then most of the conversation about LLCs is how can you get money out of your LLC from banks with no doc loans. Yeah, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. But also, here's another common mistake. Discounting to maintain volume. When revenue slows, prices drop. When sales slow, promotions increase. But lowering price without adjusting structure compresses your margin. And compressed margin increases pressure. More clients, more delivery, same or less profit. And that's not growth. That is strain. Some folks feel like, well, let's take the instance of social media. Was a part of a Facebook group years ago. This was taught, and as I learned a lot. I take the lessons and I keep them in my head. Was a part of a Facebook group. And this woman created a group that gave access to everyone like you do see today. But it's also, that's a built-in community, a built-in market. We all understand the groups. That's the purpose. And there's nothing wrong with the purpose. She made this beautiful planner. And she showed us putting the planner together. And then she showed us the final product. And the price was $20. Now, it's worth more than $20, but she priced it in a pretty decent price point. She had 2,000 members. She put out the products were ready and ready for shipment. Of her 2,000 members who were a part of her free Facebook group, no one bought. How do I know this? She made a post. How do I have 2,000 members in my group and no one purchased my product? So she didn't drop the price. She kept the price. She got no sales. So if she even discounted it, which someone held an event here in my community, I was told, when I first moved in, because I asked about the conference room and the social room and renting them out and running my business through it. They were like, yes, that's why I moved into my community. Someone had a sip and paint, and she decorated the room very, very nicely, spent all this money on her service and then providing the paint and all everything you need. All you had to do is come in and pay. I think she charged like $10. No one showed up. She couldn't even discount it because no one booked it. So even if she had discounted it, no one showed up. So again, if you're guessing, she guessed that people wanted her sip and paint event. Now, I don't know if it was marketed wrong or what have you. That's not the point. If we are looking at how we're going to reach our targets, we have to look at the pricing. And then again, in that pricing is any returns, no sales, discounted sales. If there's no revenue, whatever, it's a strain on the business itself. Pricing should be based on math, not popularity, not comparison, not fear of losing clients. If you know your numbers clearly, pricing decisions become straightforward, and you either meet the margin requirement or you adjust the offer. You do not reduce price below sustainability. And that leads us to value. So let's talk about perceived value for a moment. Value matters. Positioning matters. But even strong positioning cannot compensate for a weak pricing structure. So if your offer is underpriced, no amount of marketing will create stability for you. It will only increase your volume. But volume without margin increases workload, and margin creates stability. Now, if you don't know what margin means, then you need to book a session with me. Because if you're going to run a business, you need to understand business terms so that when you sit down across from a banker, when you're looking at your business through the intelligence of a financially, from a financial perspective, you understand what these terms mean. You want to book a session with me. You want to join my cocktails and conversations. This is what we talk about. What does margin mean? And I'm not going to tell you here. You can look it up. You can go to YouTube. The free information is out there, even applying it. But in my community, these are normal conversations. This is when they say you are the result of the five people around you. Your business growth is the result of the five people around you. I'm one of those people that you want around you because these are the kind of conversations that we have. Cocktails and Conversations is from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. every Monday. You get a Zoom link, and it's that same link every Monday. If you are on and I collect emails to let you know if I'm going to show up or not, because I might have to work on Mondays. So far, the way the schedule is, I don't have to work on Mondays. So my schedule, my Cocktails and Conversations are based on my work schedule. And that's why there aren't so many scheduled, because I looked ahead at my schedule and I made sure it was based on my current availability. So it may not happen every Monday, but it's scheduled for just Mondays. Once I'm able to get out of Walmart, which is my 100% goal, then it'll happen every Monday from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. And it'll be consistent. And it's free. I don't do live. I looked at doing live and connecting on my social media. Money is private in my community. It's within the private community to talk about money for real. These are the real conversations, not how to make it. It's how to structure it and how to keep it and how to really build your wealth, because I'm building my wealth. And I'm only sharing you how I build my wealth. I don't got on my social media how I made $10,000 selling the courses. No, I have a platform. I brag about that. I post about that. I talk about that because that's how I'm building my wealth. I own my platform and it's all online. I'm only recording from my phone with a voice recorder that's free. I have a website where I post all my podcasts. And then I provide the link to my podcast out to streaming it on Spotify. And then I post it in the community post. And then I'm in my Women's Wealth Institute and on Nia J, on my Nia Patrick site. And then I might have a little short or a little blurb about this very conversation leading you back to my site and maybe a download. I don't know how I'm gonna do the downloads yet. I wanna be able to provide that content, but I don't wanna provide it for everybody. I wanna be able to provide that content for people who are really interested in having a conversation and being part of the community, paid and free part of the community. So here's a simple exercise for you. Like I said, you get the tea in my podcast. You get the tea, take notes. Here's a simple exercise. Take your monthly operating costs, add your personal income target, add your tax allocation percentage, add your profit target. Now divide that by realistic sales capacity. That number is not emotional, it's structural. If the market doesn't support that price, you adjust your offer design, not your stability. Pricing should make your business stronger with every sale. And if each sale creates pressure, your pricing is misaligned. Every client, every customer that comes into your business contributes to your cash reserves, your tax allocation, your owner pay, and your future growth. And if that's not happening, the math needs mathing and the math needs review. So this is where financial intelligence matters. Pricing is not about what you hope the market will accept. It's about what your structure requires. When you understand your numbers, pricing becomes strategic, not reactive. So if your business supports your lifestyle, which is mine is designed to do. So let's stop right there. I built my business for freedom. Freedom for me to do what I love talking about, financial management. It's aligned with my background, my experience, my professional life, how I manage myself personally. I'm a cash flow queen, okay? And I've taken the lessons that I've learned and applied them and sharing them with you. But I'm building a lifestyle. I want to be able to work anywhere in this world. I want to reach anyone in this world. So I built an online business. I'm not interested in working for, I don't believe in retirement. I believe in teaching, sharing, studying, learning, growing for the rest of my life. And I can sustain myself. Now, I live in a very nice apartment complex that they do everything for me. I don't own a home. I think a home ownership for me personally is not a very good investment. I can take the same $350,000 for a home and apply that to my business and grow my business. I can invest in real estate investment trust versus me investing in a home that I have, that's debt. And I don't believe in debt. So that's me personally. I want a lifestyle. I want to travel. I want to be able to go around the world. I want the world to know me. So that goes into my pricing because it's my business. I get to decide my lifestyle, not my market. My market will determine if my value is worth the price I'm asking. That's how I find out and then make adjustments. And that's why I say pricing is not about what you hope the market will accept. It's about what your structure requires. And when you understand your numbers, pricing becomes strategic and it's not reacting. So if your business supports your lifestyle, price accordingly, not aggressively, not emotionally, strategically. Why? Because when your business is your paycheck, you can't afford to guess. I'm going to end it right here and tell you it's not your revenue, it's not your cash, it's not with price. It is, you cannot afford to guess. You can't afford to guess with your revenue. You can't afford to guess with your cash flow management. And you can't afford to guess with pricing. And now I'm going to end it with that. So, my name is Nia. I am the host of the Business of Money podcast. Because when your business is your paycheck, what did I just say? You can't afford to guess. I'll catch you on the next one.